Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. Let us help you escape your mind.
Folks, welcome back to Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. We have episode number 226 today. We are going to discuss psychedelic cannabis with our guest, Daniel McQueen. So we're looking forward to this. You can check out his book, Psychedelic Cannabis. I have the link down below. Shout out to Inner Traditions. Before we get started here, let's head on over, if you're interested, to our Patreon at patreon.com/mindescapepodcast. For just $2 a month, you'll get exclusive guest episodes and segments. Tons of stuff up there. If we've had a guest on our show, there's a good chance that there's a Patreon segment up there with them. So go check that out. We're also on Discord if you want to find us on there to chat. We are going to do a segment with Daniel, and I'll probably upload it later tonight if you're interested. So look for that. Also, if you're interested, head on over to indrasweb.org. This is a social media platform we created to connect open minds. So if you're ready to speculate, hypothesize, theorize, head on over there, set up an account. We're still working on getting it in the App Store, so look for that. We did have a winner for our t-shirt giveaway last month, and that was Cole. So congratulations, Cole. We're going to do it again at the end of this month. So if anybody's interested, the only thing is we only have two sizes left available. Is that large and medium, Maurice?
Correct.
Okay, so we only have large and medium. So if you're interested and you want to enter to win the shirt, all you have to do is head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, take a screenshot of it, and then send it to mindescapepodcast@gmail.com. That will enter you to win. Before we get started here, I just want to give a shout out to my grandma. She passed away this morning, and I was close with her. I love her very much. She bought me my first guitar, always kind of got me into the arts and pushed me to do the things that I wanted to do and was always there for me. So it's a sad day. I love her very much. I'm going to miss her. And also... towards the end, I would drive her to the hospital, and we would have talks about life and consciousness surviving death and reincarnation and things like that, which you normally wouldn't have with your grandparents. So I think that's important to talk about with people you love, you know, just because it's interesting, and I like to see where people stand on that kind of stuff. So never, don't feel too shy to have those conversations. So I love everybody, and I appreciate all the kind messages and stuff like that. So, on a positive note, we have Daniel here, and welcome to the show, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike. It's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Daniel is psychedelic specialist. He's also a psychedelic therapy educator, author of Psychedelic Cannabis, which we were going to talk about today. He's also the co-founder of the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness and the DMTX program. We might discuss the DMTX program for the Patreon segment. So, and also you are the creator of the Trip Sitter program, is that correct?
That's right. It's called Psychedelic Sitter School. We teach people how to facilitate psychedelic experiences in that program.
Awesome. So, I really enjoyed your book, Psychedelic Cannabis. It's legal here now. It's legal where Maurice is. It's legal where you are. This is amazing. I never would have thought that when we started this journey 20, 25 years ago, back when we were in high school. It's just amazing to see the progress. But I really enjoyed your book from the sense of you approach it as if psychedelic is a, or cannabis is a psychedelic, which I would agree that it is, especially high dose edibles and if you know certain strains and things like that. So why don't you give us a little bit of a background into how you got into this and then also the actual how you got into the cannabis side of this.
Yeah, sure. Well, again, thanks for having me, Mike and Maurice. It's always fun to share more information about cannabis as a psychedelic. It's not as widely known as other psychedelics obviously are, and we're working to advocate for it as a good tool for therapeutic purposes, but also for personal exploration purposes too. You know, it's very reliable as a psychedelic. So I got started working with psychedelics in my early 20s. I was part of some spiritual communities that used them intentionally. And then about 10 years after that, I realized that the spiritual aspects of the work were not the full story. And I wanted to learn the psychological. And I got my master's at Naropa University in transpersonal counseling, which is the field of study that was developed when psychedelics were discovered. The word transpersonal was coined by Dr. Stan Grof, who's a psychedelic expert. And I had every intention of being an ethical underground guide at that point. You know, it was either research, which was just starting at that time. This was about 12 years ago now, or underground practitioners. And I never really felt comfortable with that path to begin with, but I was, you know, passionate enough to explore that edge. But then I got married to Allison, my wife, who also helped co-found Medicinal Mindfulness, and started having kids and things. And I think my risk profile kind of changed a little bit at that point. So I have two little ones, you know, that we are doing this work to provide for. Let's see, I graduated in 2012, and then 2014, cannabis became legal in Colorado. Colorado was one of the first states to legalize what we now call adult use, not just, medical marijuana. And a friend of mine knew my interest in working with psychedelics, and he said, "Hey, with cannabis becoming legal, have you ever considered working with cannabis as a psychedelic, you know, for therapeutic work and for, you know, for journey work?" And, you know, I'd always used cannabis. I'd always used it in conjunction with other medicines in my own, you know, my own life and personal life and such. But for some reason, I'd never considered it as a possibility, you know, but it kind of elicited a process in me, and I started to experiment with it. And he helped organize, my friend John helped organize some of the first groups we did with cannabis, putting it into like what you would call a set and setting of a psychedelic experience. And intuitively, I was drawn to blend the medicine. And we should probably talk about that, you know, at some point in the podcast, because it's a pretty important aspect. But I decided, you know, with blending the medicine, and it created this unusual entourage effect that amplified the psychedelic nature of cannabis and minimized what were the common side effects, the negative side effects that people talk about. And we started doing groups with it. As soon as it became legal, we started doing group psychedelic cannabis experiences at a local yoga studio that allowed us to work from. And people were blown away by it. I was surprised, as surprised as everybody else, that it was as effective. I was just starting my training program at that time, and I thought maybe it would be a useful like a training tool to kind of give people an altered states experience. But one of my friends jokingly accused me of putting DMT in the blend because her experience was so strong, and she said, "Daniel, if I didn't know you and trust you, I swear you would put DMT in that," you know. And at that point, I realized that maybe I should keep exploring this and looking into it and developing it. And, you know, I did circles for years before we started working with individuals, and that became as effective as well. We can share that as well.
Yeah, the people thinking they've gotten spiked or something like that is kind of a common thing. I remember I was at a Humphreys McGee New Year's show in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and one of our friend's wife ate like a brownie, and it was just cannabis in there, but she had like a super intense, you know, spiritual experience, but it was a little rough early on, and I just remember thinking like, you know, this is a very potent thing that, you know, even though it's maybe not on the spectrum of, you know, what like a psilocybin or LSD or DMT is, it still can get you to those places if you know what you're doing and you incorporate mm-hmm. it into like meditation or something like that, or you take even a really high dose. So I always thought that was interesting, and not, you know, obviously you see some of the reports of people like novices not knowing what they're doing or the dosage or anything and running into trouble that way as well.
Yeah, it surprises them. You know, they just weren't, they were expecting to get high, feel right. euphoric, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, processing their early childhood or past lives, right. flying through the cosmos. You know, it's definitely not quite what people are expecting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. But the one thing I really liked about your book is you go through, you know, the mindfulness, you know, the meditation aspect of it. And to be honest with you, I never really had, I've always, like I said, I've used it since I was younger, since I was in high school, but I never really had a reverence for it until about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I started to meditate with it, and I'm like, wow, this is, that mixed with meditation, super potent, and it can take you to those places. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. You know, so I think we want to differentiate between recreational use, which is playful or celebratory or just an opportunity to chill out and relax and let go of the day. You know, those are how people normally are, to help sleep and whatnot. But there's this whole other side of cannabis where if you use it in a meditation allows us to turn towards things, right? We're turning towards our felt sense in our body. We're turning towards our emotional awareness and also the thoughts in our mind, right? And so cannabis in that container amplifies all of those things. It amplifies our felt sense in our bodies. It amplifies access to our emotions and actually even starts, you know, emotional processes that we've had buried. And then it allows us, like the chatter in our mind will amplify, will get louder as well. And it allows us to turn towards these experiences with greater clarity. And so, you know, so that's one way to use cannabis as something, as cannabis and like, so like therapy enhancing, mindfulness enhancing, somatic awareness enhancing. That's why people use it in, with yoga and such. Mm-hmm. They just have greater felt sense in their body. So we call that psycholytic, which means like in the therapeutic container, psycholytic means like a lower dose, but strong enough to amplify processes and reduce like our defenses. And then we have these states that are psychedelic, which are full-blown psychedelic experiences, and not uncommon to be as intense as an MDMA journey or a psilocybin journey. We've even had multiple times working with people who've had DMT-level experiences or 5-MeO-DMT-level experiences. And that requires like a specialized setting, which isn't that complicated. It's basically lying down, eye covering on, listening to music, and allowing the process to unfold.
So is it more about that then, or is it the dosage, or is it a combination of the two?
Well, dosage is definitely a factor in it. And the other factor would be the blend, which is basically a blend of different cannabinoids, THC, and different terpenes. And we can talk more about that. And then
sure.
And then specific, like cannabis, we call it a like consensual psychedelic, in that it gives us choice in how we engage it. You know, so if you take a psilocybin journey, you're on the trip. You know, if you smoke DMT, you're on the trip until you come down, right? It's just the nature of those medicines. With cannabis, generally, unless you're taking a really extreme dose of an edible or something, we retain our sense of agency, our ability to navigate the space, to choose to go into it, to choose to deepen it. And in that, we can choose to pause it and take a break. And the way we do that is we invite our clients, or if we're on our own journey, we lie down, relax our bodies, and use some gentle breathing techniques. It's not that complicated. But when you hold gently still, there's something that gets activated in the cannabis experience and allows you to go deeper. And so it kind of gently nudges you into a psychedelic trip, as opposed to like you're going whether you want to or not.
Right.
And so if you put those right conditions, you know, good music, eye covering, laying flat on your back, like in Savasana, yogic pose, it will amplify out to psychedelic space within 5 or 10 minutes.
How are you administering this? Is it orally or is it inhaled?
Yeah, that's a great question. Orally. Yes. So some of our folks eat oral cannabis, or we use nanoencapsulated tinctures. The preferred method is called a PAX vaporizer. It's a flower vaporizer that we use. That allows for the terpene profile to really create that entourage effect that we need. And sometimes the terpenes are stripped out of like edible versions and such. So edibles will cause sometimes more of the negative side effects associated with taking too much cannabis, like anxiety, paranoia, sometimes panic, and, you know, sometimes vomit, throwing up, nausea and such. So we're able to minimize all of those when you're vaping the right blend. There's something about the terpenes that really makes a difference.
I wanted to
probably
ask you about
the most healthy way to ingest it as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, though,
right.
The anxiety, because I think that I mentioned this off air. There's something to me about getting, you know, whether you're vaporizing or smoking or whatever. We used to call it back in the day scary high, which is you get so high that you start to have like...
Put those headphones
like,
on and go
it's
in
almost
the corner.
Like, yeah, it's almost like coming up on psilocybin, you know, that feeling where
totally.
You get a little uneasy in the stomach and you start to like think about all the skeletons in the closet and all that stuff.
Yeah, because you're tripping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you think that that's, for somebody that's experienced, are you still trying to get rid of that or minimize it? Or do you think that if you are experienced that you can kind of use that in a positive
yeah.
way?
Yeah, 100%. You know, so this is where the setting comes in, right? So again, cannabis is often a recreational medicine used to hanging out with friends in social settings. So sometimes when people enter that state against, you know, quotes, unquote, scary high, right? Some of it's like social anxiety. Like all of a sudden they start to shut down a little bit, get a little self-conscious. It's harder to communicate, right? And so the social anxiety kind of amplifies that anxiety as well. And sometimes I would just say like it's just a physiological effect of pure THC. And this is where the terpenes and the other cannabinoids come in because they can minimize that effect. So with that being said, anxiety obviously comes up in therapeutic settings as well. And it's usually because people are starting to step into a trip experience, a psychedelic journey experience. And like you said, those skeletons in your closet or whatnot, or, you know, the door gets open so you can turn towards and address them and explore them and see what's under them and clear them out. You know, we can clear those skeletons out of the closet. So if you're in the wrong setting and that starts to happen, it can get really scary, you know, get really uneasy. People will resist the experience and they're not in a safe container to do it, right? They're at a concert or hanging out with friends or acquaintances at a party and whatnot.
Right.
But in this container, you know, like there's no obligation to talk. The person's lying on their back with that blindfold on in a comfortable bed in a therapeutic office, right? And with gentle music playing, and the guide's there to support them in turning towards those experiences, and it'll release like a wave, like a chunk of anxiety will come out of somebody, and it'll have content to it. It'll have stories associated with it, memories, past experiences, and or realizations that are hard to accept and such. And we coach our clients to breathe through those experiences and let it move through them. And so it'll amplify, but it won't amplify forever. It won't just keep going up where the person pops or whatever.
Right.
It'll amplify and it'll crest like a wave. So if you allow it to happen, it'll come in a chunk and then release. And then it'll come into another chunk and release. And so once you teach somebody how to navigate that little wave that people go through, they're able to kind of get their sea legs, so to speak. They're able to navigate those waves themselves, and then it'll just kind of flow through and clear. So usually it's just a bunch of unprocessed previous experience that is lying under there that's causing the anxiety.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. And actually, we were discussing this, I think, on our last episode with Sam Wolf. Like, I don't know that I would be, I'm not down to do the whole like group ayahuasca retreat or be around a bunch of people. I like sitting in darkness. I'm willing to do like a therapy, maybe like a one-on-one type thing, but just if I'm trying to work on myself, I just don't know how a bunch of other people being there is going to be helpful in that experience to me. But I mean, how do you think about that?
Sure.
Is there a benefit to having like a group
Group,
experience
yeah.
there?
It's a both and. Both places are really great. But cannabis is, like, again, it's like not as unruly as ayahuasca, not as extreme on the gut as ayahuasca. It's a
Right.
much gentler experience in that way. People generally don't go out of control or start screaming or anything, and sometimes happens in ayahuasca experiences. So group settings are a little more contained than what you would typically think in some ways. And then groups, people, there's just an accessibility issue with groups in this space, and we offer
Sure.
therapeutic groups for this reason, and that it's just more financially affordable and than one-on-one sessions are. And so for some people, it's the only option. And so we really create a nice, safe, contained space. They're not huge groups, 6 to 8 people, especially something that's therapeutic. And people talk about having a like they feel supported by the group, like energetically supported, or they're all in it together. They're going on the same journey, but having different storylines in the experience. So there is a felt sense of support that can be helpful. And the benefit of an individual session over a group session is that you can chat, you can talk to the guide and connect, and the guide can facilitate the experience, like right with the person as they're going through it.
Right.
And in group settings, it's mostly more like an ayahuasca setting in that way, where you're on your own doing your own work, and if you need support, it's going to be more, more reassuring words than like deep processing. And so for some people, somebody who's had like really severe trauma and needs to work, has a lot of content to work through, individual sessions are really great for those folks, because I can help guide them, and it's like help guide them through those waves and support when the wave gets kind of stuck,
Right.
and help elicit that breakthrough, release, and clear it. So I'm a fan of both. We started with groups and with cannabis, and it's, again, it's super safe. And we largest group I've worked with cannabis is 60 people, so
Wow.
it's very reliably safe and contained. So I really love working with groups, but there is something very special about individual sessions as well.
Yeah, I mean, I look, I think it's preference too.
Sure.
I just, 'cause I go back to, maybe this is one 'cause I didn't have reverence for like when we were younger and we would all, eat psilocybin with our friends or something like that, or go to a fish show or whatever, and you're just around a bunch of your friends. You start to see them in a different light, and you're like, I can't believe I'm friends with this person, kind of a thing. And that's not no knock on them. Sometimes it's maybe just your perception in that moment, but I have had those feelings being in groups where it's like, I wish I was alone to like work out my own stuff and not worry about this person,
Yeah.
saying or thinking crazy stuff over here, kind of a
Yeah,
thing.
100%. Yeah, so with our groups, like you're not in charge of other people. It's the guides, and we have a team holding these groups together,
Sure.
and we do a ton of screening, and and safety support, preparation and stuff. Everybody's there for that reason, to turn towards their own stuff. And so it's a radically different experience than being at a concert and having to like take care of your friends who, you know, took too much of whatever it was they did.
That's happened, you know? Maurice and I at the same fish show, actually. We dabbled a little bit too much in the MDMA arts, and yeah, we both had to bow out early. Or actually, I did. I don't know. I think he stayed, but possum really got to me. I had to walk out. So
I'm an introvert too. You know, like I like being alone in my room as well.
Yeah, darkness for me. Psilocybin and darkness. I feel like I'm at home or something. I don't know. I can think, but I come up with thoughts I've never thought before. Sometimes I write them down and I'll look at them later. I'm like, I don't even know what the heck I was. That doesn't even make sense in the normal world, you know? But
yeah, sometimes there's good nuggets in there. It's like you gotta mine for them in the journal entries.
Exactly. But yeah, I really enjoyed your book for the sense that like you're presenting it as you can achieve those states with cannabis, and you definitely can. I mean, like I just said, I've had a lot of experience with psilocybin, and probably more than most. And you can achieve that afterglow where it's like, I got to get my life in order. I got to fix this. I got to fix that. You can achieve that with cannabis, no doubt. And that coming up feeling as well. And one thing I really liked about your book is you kind of walk through not just like all the like different like things that can go wrong, but also how to minimize the negative aspects through mindfulness and different types of meditation and thought processes and stuff like that. So why don't you go into a little bit of like how to achieve a positive experience, or how to go into an experience using positivity?
So that's when we're getting into the mindset, right? You know, so cultivating the mindset. So mindset is what you're bringing into the experience, but it's also, you can program your mindset through like ritualized meditation or ceremony. You know, it's a way to orient the subconscious mind to be more open and receptive. So we bring in ceremony into it, gratitude statements. You know, you can call them prayers or meditations. I don't really get too attached to that language. I'll orient to my client's needs and worldview, so to speak. You know, but in any tradition throughout the history of the world, particularly the mystical traditions, there's some sort of creating a sacred space, right? Creating an intentional container that's different from day-to-day life. And the way I know how to do that is by meditating and calling in the spirits of the cardinal directions and the earth and the sky. And I do that by inviting in certain mind states. I don't call in animal spirits and things like that. More very skill set oriented, you know, so calling in the capacity to stay focused, calling in the capacity to play and to remain curious, even when it's difficult, calling in the capacity to relax and allow the experience to unfold. And then the last one would be like the ability to discern and understand what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like we want this to be impactful in our lives, right? And so we can like evoke like at least the seeds of particular mind states that are really helpful in these spaces. The other key, which I would, this is for any psychedelic medicine, you know, so all of these practices are useful for other psychedelics as well, is using the breath. Breathing into our belly as opposed to our chest is like a transformational breath. It helps move an experience through us. And like, think about like when you have extreme anxiety or something, people are either breathing really shallow and fast, like they're hyperventilating, or they've stopped breathing completely, right? Like they're holding their breath. And so returning gently to gentle breathing into the belly, and focusing your awareness on that as these things are moving through and like turning on, you know, like that, right. That uncomfortable space sometimes that when it really starts to take effect, is a really good practice. Like everything, in the end is centered on the breath. I know it sounds super simple, but it's true. And when I'm doing, you know, so I have a body scan meditation that's on our website. that people have downloaded and used for when the medicine comes on. And so you can imagine, like, after the medicine's taken and it's gratitude, and taken in gratitude with intention, invite people to lie down and breathe in their bellies. And then I do a simple body scan meditation. And that's like relax your toes all the way up to the top of your head practice. It's about 10 minutes or so. And so that lets the body or the client's mind stay focused on something. You know, it's like a gentle distraction in a way. And it's also a way to really relax the body and helps with that transition. So so anybody, any of your listeners, you know, the invitation is to, like, do a meditation as the journey's coming on, and don't turn away from, to allow yourself to turn towards and accept what's arising. And it will usually move through. The more you resist it, the longer it takes to move through, you know, and you can get kind of stuck in those spaces. It's just a big wave, you know, it's like you learn to surf them as opposed to be pulled in under them, you know.
Right. Have you ever looked at, like, the historical use? Like, we're in the kind of in the middle of a series, like, What Was Soma? And we had Chris Bennett on, who makes he's a cannabis historian, and he makes a compelling case that Soma mm-hmm. was cannabis, and through the linguistics and all the stuff and mm-hmm. The ritual and everything and the effects. And one of the arguments against that, you know, that some people say it's like a ayahuasca analog or mushrooms or something like that, would be that cannabis isn't psychedelic enough to produce mm-hmm. the effects found in the Rig Veda and the Avesta mm-hmm. and all that. Have you looked at the history and the rituals, or is this all just drawn from your personal experience?
Yeah, you know, my practices were drawn from my experiences with other medicine practices. So, you know, I'm not an expert on the history of the spiritual use of the medicine, although, you know, I've read it and, you know, studied sure. Some of those traditions and such. So this is more of a modern, redeveloped practice in a way
gotcha.
that brings in other psychedelic practices, mindfulness practices, and somatic therapy practices. But, you know, there are traditions in South and Central America that bring in cannabis. Some communities bring in cannabis into the ayahuasca circles and such, and they either speak to it as mostly Santa Maria, you know. So so there's those practices. And I've also read about ancient practices as well, that there's been, I forget which country they found these big vats in, that they these stone vats, and they scraped and analyzed the vats, and that was cannabis, opium, and ephedra.
Yeah.
You know, and I could see that being a really potent combination. The ephedra keep you awake, the opium deeply relaxing and definitely, you know, altering itself, and then the psychedelic nature of cannabis, a high dose cannabis experience. I can see that being equivalent to, you know,
I think these. That's what related to the Soma stuff. Uh-huh. But like that, so there's debate on whether it was just cannabis initially and then maybe ventured out into other psychoactive compounds, and it was a combination of the ritual, like Soma was the ritual plus psychoactive compound. But again,
sure.
Chris Bennett makes a compelling case for cannabis as at least the original. And now we find, you know, I don't know if you saw that archaeological find from I think it was Israel, where they found an old temple. They found resin, and they've been finding all these different sites. Yeah, they've been finding all these sites with all these different.
They were hotboxing it, right? They were.
Yeah.
You know, they were getting these little huts and put the cannabis resin on the coals and hotbox, and they would induce psychedelic, you know, mystical states with that as well. There's also evidence of, like, there are these little wooden bowls that they would put hot rocks in and put the cannabis on top of it. And it was used in funerary rituals and such. And,
right.
But, you know, so I'll just speak from my personal experience. I've worked with thousands of people using this medicine, and it's a very reliable psychedelic. It's just, we forgot how to use it. There was just it's not that complicated, but it's a little more complicated than just eating something and starting to trip, you know?
Right.
So the ceremony itself, I would say, you know, so the ceremony points to what we'd call set and setting. And so obvious major factors in the practice, but pure THC is psychedelic, but it's also very anxiety provoking. So it's not like It's not all about the THC. When we add these different terpenes into it, terpenes are like the precursors to different essential oils, right? It's what makes it smell different ways.
Right.
And so like say a cannabis flower that smells a lot like lavender, right, will have a terpene in it that relaxes the body, right? And these, there are hundreds of terpenes in cannabis, and there's also other cannabinoids that are psychedelic too. And so I would suggest that it's as psychedelic as the other medicines, and but that sense of agency is still retained, which is pretty spectacular in a way. So I've personally had experiences that are indistinguishable from ayahuasca and DMT, LSD. I've had experiences like it's a shape-shifting medicine. Cannabis shape-shifts into other medicines. Sometimes it's like I've had LSD. I've had full-blown LSD experiences on cannabis, full-blown psilocybin, 5-MeO DMT experiences on cannabis. So I'm 100% behind that cannabis is psychedelic enough to be a classic psychedelic. I don't know enough about the soma and the effects of that, but I've heard it's similar to ayahuasca in the way they're describing it.
Yeah, I was just
100% totally
curious
possible.
if you looked at that when going into that, because there's a lot of stuff that is similar in terms of the way you approach it and then the way the ancient people approached it as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And obviously, it's a lot more potent now, but I mean, there's a whole.
Well, that's the other factor, right? Maybe they were distilling it or something, making, it's
Well,
like the
that.
weed that we grew up on, we couldn't do this. It
Yeah.
would just make us super anxious and stuff. But now it's different. Like now these plants, I mean, they're evolving
Right.
Is there a
through.
particular strand that you would recommend?
Sure. There's some really great strains here in Colorado. They constantly are changing and evolving. It's more of the combination, though, right? And this is that blend I was talking about.
Yeah.
So TH. So there's even some products now in California that are like you smoke a couple of tokes and you're tripping hard. But they're mostly sativas, and so they amplify anxiety.
Yeah, I don't
Right.
like that.
Yeah, sativa is
Yeah.
like the uplifting, go out and do an activity in the sunlight
Right.
kind of a, to me at least,
Yeah, sativas, like think of like mind amplifying, creativity amplifying,
Right.
like so people write and do art, make music, they go out and exercise. So it's energizing, right? And so excess energy would be anxiety provoking, right?
Right.
So the super uplifting, elevating, you can feel really elevated and positive. And then the opposite, right, is the indicas. So what are some common things associated with indicas? Like sleep, relaxation, like the stereotypical stoner who's couch locked and can't move. It's like their whole body's just kind of a limp and like a puddle on the ground, right? But it's muscle relaxing. It's relaxing. And so this is where the trauma resolution takes place, is that the endocannabinoid system allows the muscles to relax enough for the trauma to release and discharge. So what happens if, so you think about what happens if you combine a sativa, a really strong, like anxiety provoking sativa, and a really deep body relaxing indica. It's oddly, they don't cancel each other out. What happens is the positive traits amplify and the negative traits disappear. If you like with the really good blend, so you get all that creativity, that elevated energy, that mind expansing space of the sativa. But then you get the deep muscle relaxation on the body awareness of the indica. And that cancels out the anxiety of the sativa, and the elevation cancels out the dullness of the indica. So you just have this deeply body relaxed space when you're, and it's psychedelic, like visually psychedelic. Mostly closed eyes visual, but I've been in dark rooms where I've had open eye visuals with cannabis. Mostly closed eyed visuals, but people, it's either looks like a cartoon or they're. Or like they're watching a cartoon play out, like a really bizarre cartoon. So it kind of has like a paint-like quality to the visuals, but it then can really go beyond that to like seeing lights and stuff, more like the DMT level state. where everything's made of light, you know. It's a little different.
Yeah, the last few years I've switched to the carts because I think smoking for me, I don't know, it just gets my heart rate pumping a little bit. It's not that I won't do it occasionally, but that's even more psychedelic when I do that. I feel like the cart, I can work with it more, allows me to meditate and be a little bit more calm and peaceful. But, you know, I know that there's not all the other extra cannabinoids in there either. So it's kind of like if I want the full effect, I'll still smoke. But I love what the carts do for me at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I gave up cannabis altogether because of my anxiety. Like, I was I used to love to puff on some sativa, and then just because I'm a video editor and stuff like that, so I'd smoke, and then I'd get into my editing. But then my anxiety just it just got too intense. So that's why I was kind of asking you. I don't know if you have any advice or
Yeah, I was just visiting my parents, and their neighbor was asking this exact same question. You know, I really like smoking, but it's creating too much anxiety, you know. So really, like, you got to start thinking about different strains. You know, there might be strain-specific ones that you just like a lot more, or drop it down to a hybrid, which are those strains that are blended, sativa, indicas. Or, you know, like, cannabis is just way stronger than it used to be. So you just need to smoke, like, maybe smoke smaller puffs and, like, more infrequent, like, during your experience, or switch to an indica. You know, that might, you know, like, there's so many variables. And I promise there's one that would be perfect for you that's elevating and productivity enhancing and fun, but you won't get that, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe to start vaping at a very low temperature and then kind of going more towards a lower THC. And then I don't know what your opinion is on some of the more CBD based. Obviously, those are lower THC right there. So
CBD is great. So I talk about this in my book. It's like a natural antidote to THC. So we have a nano encapsulated version of CBD that we use as a kind of an adjunct and antidote to, like, THC experiences. So if somebody's just uncomfortable in their bodies and overly anxious, we can give them a couple of sprays of this under their tongue, and within a few minutes all that anxiety drops out and they're able to stay in the trip. So I can even send you some of this, you know.
I'd love to
try it. It's really great, and it helps me too. I take it during before speeches and presentations and classes and stuff, and it's a really good grounding medicine. It's not psychoactive. So yeah, you can switch to something with some CBD in it, and that might be a big factor for you too.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I take a CBD pills every day, but I think it's because it's so light. I come from a background. I've smoked every day for 20 years, and I'm looking for something. It's such a subtle thing that I'm probably not even realizing that it's helping me to a degree. So again, I don't know if I'm looking for too much from that CBD or if it's CBD, just
how much are you taking?
I think it's a 220 milligram capsules.
Okay, yeah, that's great. That's a good medium-sized dose, not too much, but above average. It's good. It's really great medicine. I take it every day as well. Like, anti-inflammatory, helps calm the nervous system down. It's good. It's just good neuroprotective medicine. It's used in treatment for dementia now and such in other countries. So I would highly recommend you keep taking it. It's not cheap, psychoactive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it's beneficial, I'll absolutely keep taking it. But like I said, I mean, this stuff isn't cheap. But again, I'm not putting a price on my mental health or anything or my health in general. It's just, is it doing anything? It's more of a, I don't know. You don't really see the effects, or maybe I have to take it for longer than a month or whatever.
Yeah. Well, think it, if you were in pain, you'd probably feel it, you know, like feel some relief, you know. So it's usually helps with negative experiences. People who have inflammation in their body can feel, you know, feel it in their joints and stuff. But take it, keep taking it. It's a good preventative medicine. I take it every day for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's good medicine. So the difference between the pills you have are probably oil-based pills, you know, just regular CBD. And so that goes through your liver, and it takes a couple hours for it to kick in and such. We help develop a nano-encapsulated version, which is water-soluble. And so that would be the one, you know, and you can get these online. You don't have to get them from us. Well, just nano-encapsulated water-soluble CBD, spray it under your tongue, and it'll drop your heart rate, it'll drop your anxiety down within a minute or two. It's pretty fascinating. And it's a good, for those of you online and such who are listening, who use other medicines, it can help reduce anxiety if like you're having a bad mushroom trip too. But you'd probably take like 10 times the amount of the spray, like 50 milligrams or something, as opposed to 5. And just because those medicines are so potent, but it can really help.
Is that why, I don't know, I've always gone to cannabis on the come down of psilocybin to help, transition back into, waking reality. Is that, do you think that CBD hit from that is what's helping facilitate that? Obviously the THC might kick it back into gear a little bit too for me, but the CBD, I feel like, based on what you're saying, might help ease that transition.
No doubt. The only medicine I wouldn't recommend taking THC after would be peyote. There's like this, it's a common experience, people who take like smoke a joint after peyote ceremony or something like that. They can get really anxious and paranoid, and it's common enough to like say, for me to share that with you guys.
Sure.
Not, or any mescaline, I guess, since peyote's not that common.
Right.
But yeah, it'll, so if you take it at the peak or a little after the peak, it'll keep you in the psychedelic experience, right? A psilocybin or whatever. And sometimes it'll be like a breakthrough experience. People will
Right.
really start tripping at that point. But on the
Sure.
end, on the down leg, it'll slow the tr and like slow and smooth out the trajectory of the come down and make it a little softer for sure. And I'm
Is that the
sure, yeah,
case to be
CBD would
made?
be really helpful.
Is that the case to be made too for when you see these psilocybin trials and they're literally just giving people synthesized psilocin or psilocybin as opposed to the built-in technology of an actual mushroom where it has all those other components like baocysteine? And I think there's one, I don't know what the type of mushroom, there's a long word, agrucycline or something like that. They found some compound that almost is like the CBD of psilocybin, kind
No
of.
kidding. No, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to check
so
that out.
yeah, I'll try and send you an email. I'll look at the, I always forget the name because it's like a long word, but
Yeah, that would be really cool to learn more about that. Yeah, the natural, like we've worked with companies to develop vapes of the blend and all kinds of things, and the natural medicine, I haven't found a better option than just organic flower ground and put in a vaporizer. It's super clean and you get everything you need out of that. And I think natural substances that have different, a wide array of different compounds and stuff, I think they're better for us, 100%.
Yeah. So in terms of your book, did you write it because you felt like there's kind of like a void there? Because I don't really see too many books about cannabis that talk about this aspect of it, which is the psychedelic or psychoactive properties of it. It's usually just something more straightforward, or it's the history of it, or it's this, or it's that. But yeah, I don't. Did you see that void, or is this just something that you're just passionate about?
Well, I didn't start this project thinking I was going to write a book. It was more about writing about what I was discovering and rediscovering, exploring. It's like I don't think I made up like or invented cannabis as a psychedelic, right? Like I had trips like that, and people speak to it, I've had experiences with psychedelic or cannabis as a psychedelic, but I guess I was the first to really put it in the container of psychedelic journey work, practices within like modern America, and using it as a therapeutic tool. So I did some research as I was developing the book, and there's no mention of like the main books, Cannabis and Spirituality, or the Big Pot book, the pot book that's real commonly referred. Very few mentions of cannabis as a psychedelic, if any, or cannabis-assisted psychotherapy. That's a new thing now since my book came, since I started my work. And then we call our program cannabis-assisted psychedelic therapy, just to clarify that we're really treating it as a psychedelic. I wrote my book. I wrote my book One, I felt like I was talking to the void, right? There just wasn't a lot of contained, you know, like understanding at that time that cannabis was a psychedelic. And we still, it's our most common question in our program, like, can cannabis really do this? Or, you know, I don't believe that's true. And so we talk about it, explain it. But I wrote it because I wanted people to give people practices that they could use to help them heal themselves, you know, from trauma, but also to wake up, you know, like we're in a crisis period in the planet right now, you know, like in the United States and all over the world, climate change and social unrest. And I mean, this COVID thing, right? I didn't predict that, you know, as part of climate change.
I don't
change,
think anybody
that's
did.
Definitely been a big factor, right?
But I feel so, you on the vibe of the planet. We need to turn this ship, right?
We need to turn it. And, you know, and honestly, I think humans need an intervention, and psychedelics might provide that intervention. You know, it's like goes deeper than psychotherapy. It's more accessible in some ways for some people, but there's not a lot of skill set, you know, on our talk on how to actually use the medicines. And so I wanted to teach people how to do that working with a legal medicine. You know, like you don't have to break the law anymore to use these to have a psychedelic experience in most of the United States. And so it was the accessibility piece and the problem solving piece that I was really most interested in teaching people how to work with it for, you know.
Sure.
I didn't know what I was getting into, to be honest. Like to me, this is just what I was doing, you know. I didn't realize there was such an interest in it, you know, until I started really working with it.
Yeah, I just really think that this is an important topic. Like I said, we've talked a lot about all the other psychedelics and personal experiences, and we've had all the psychedelic scientists on and visionaries and people like that. But I just think that since Maurice and I have a long history with cannabis, I thought that you were the perfect guest to talk about this based on your
book.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Also, I mean, based on dosage, so like we've done, it's called the secret episodes on our Patreon. We've done one of them so far, and we were going to do more, but then obviously we have a baby now and stuff like that. So I didn't have as much time to kind of go through with that. But the one episode we did do, I think I ate 200 milligrams. So I had worked my way up to like high doses.
I did that once.
It doesn't really affect me as much as like other people say either, for whatever reason. Like I don't, like I've seen people eat like 10 and 20 milligrams and just get like,
yeah,
wasted. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like I need to eat at least 50 to 100 to feel that effect. But I ate 200 in that episode that we did, and I was still able to have a conversation. I mean, we still did an episode, but it was a little bit out there, but yeah, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would say 50 to 100 probably be like a good edible dose for me to have a psychedelic experience. I did 200 once, and it was pure oil from a friend of mine who owns a dispensary, and I tripped for about 12 hours straight. You know, I was having like ego dissolution experiences, and you know, a lot of anxiety, a lot of nausea. It's like not that, you know, not uncommon negative side effects.
Yeah.
Some of these, you know, some psychedelic or level cannabis. But yeah, it's quite the experience. I'm probably not going to do another 200.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not something I did regularly, but yeah, it's just, I remember the one negative edible experience I had, my one buddy gave me a cinnamon roll and I didn't know how much was in it. And obviously there was a lot in it afterwards, and I ate it, and I'm telling you, like 12 hours, and I went to bed, and then I was woke up and I was still like tripping. And then I, you know, there's something rancid with the butter or something. My stomach was all messed up, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just an unpleasant experience, but it was definitely super intense. And it was probably right up there with some of the other psychedelic experiences that I've had that in terms of intensity. So.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Terrence McKenna once said something like, I'm going to paraphrase it, but something like, it's really difficult to take too much cannabis, but it's worth striving for. You know, it's like really create these heroic, you know, it's like heroic doses on cannabis. So it's very similar to other medicines. What I would say, though, is you can reduce the negative effects with the right mixture of terpenes and other cannabinoids that go with the THC. It's not just about the THC. And so you really can like dial it in, and more so than what you're, you know, what we're all accustomed to with like the random edible where you accidentally take too much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I've taken a break from the edibles for a while, and I'll occasionally hit the pen, but I'm not really partaking that much these days. I just got too much stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where, like you said, most people think like, oh, what, weed or cannabis? That's, you're having psychedelic, yeah. What are you talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's, I could see that mindset a long time ago when I was younger, but now it's like, I just have a reverence for anything psychoactive. Now, even when I have a lot of caffeine, I treat that like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of caffeine. This is going to jack my anxiety way up, you know? So I got to be prepared for that if I do this, you know? So anything mind altering at this point, you know, you don't even think about things like that, but yeah, it's the mindfulness of it. I think that's what I really responded to in your book. And
yeah, appreciate that.
You put a lot of thought and obviously into it, and obviously you can tell you're very experienced in your practices and the center that you guys run and everything like that. So appreciate that as well. And even you talk about like the laws and legality and all that stuff in there as well.
Yeah. Well, come to Boulder. Come check it out. I'd love to work with you both and do a journey together. And you get to see for yourself, even if you're a regular smoker, it still works. We just give you a little more. And, it, you know, like, it, again, it's so reliable. I've been able to develop a center, a clinic, and a training program around it. Like, I don't think I'd be able to do that if I were blowing smoke, you know.
Pun intended.
Just like, yeah, right. Or just... you know, sort of psychedelic. You know, it's really inspiring. It's the most inspiring job I've ever had, for sure. So, love to see you in Boulder.
I love Boulder, man. I've been backpacking there the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't go this year, but yeah, man. I love that. I love Colorado. I almost moved there a couple of times, but that's the place to be, I think.
Yeah, we love it here. It was one of the few places I felt safe doing this work at, you know, like 10 years ago. So things have definitely changed since then, but really grateful for what I was
able like I said, it's amazing that cannabis is legal for people of age where I live, where Maurice lives, and where you live. It's we live in three different states. It's amazing times we're living in here.
I think we're around 70% of the U.S. population lives in a legal state, at least medically legal, you know. So that's really
they're still fighting tooth and nail to keep this thing illegal, but
boy, they are. Yeah,
unbelievable, man. It's like, just give it up. But again, I think it's the older people in office, and as they move away, then, you know, it's just like, it's so silly. Although for me and Michael, and probably for you, we've grown up in this mindset that this stuff is so illegal and bad that it's like, it's still bad to me. Last time I was in Colorado, so I saw some guy smoking a joint out in the street, and I was like, you can't do that. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, right. You know? Well, that's the war on drugs, man. It really got embedded into a certain age group, you know, us and the Just Say No campaign and all of that. That's a big part of what we talk about in our training program, is how to like work and heal that belief system. Because it took me about 4 or 5 years working with this professionally until I was finally really able to let it go. It goes pretty deep, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people like us that are advocates for it, it's still penetrated our subconscious. And
I want to ask you about that, though, too. Before we get out of here, we are going to do a Patreon segment with you, recorded after we get out here live.
Yeah.
But before we get out here, I want to ask you about that, though, because growing up, it was illegal. There was, even though it was illegal, there was like a certain, it added to the mystery and the mysticism of
it.
Like, do you think that's why people don't think about it the same way? Because, and I'm not saying it just because of the laws, but just like, almost like when you were doing it, you had to be like set and setting, you had to know where you were, know your surroundings, kind of a thing. And now it's kind of like you said, people freely out there doing it, and they're not really thinking twice about it. Do you think that there's something to that? Not that we should go back to that, but maybe there's a way to preserve that mystery and that mysticism aspect of it.
Yeah, let's amplify it, you know, bring it into real intentional ceremonial containers and show what the true potential of it is. Like, again, I've done this for 10 years now, full time, and I'm still learning the potential of this medicine, and I'm regularly surprised by what happens and the intensity of it. So, you know, people do talk about that, like there's something kind of attractive to the, you know, like the bad outlaw kind of vibe of it and such. But I would say that caused more damage than any benefit whatsoever, you know, like,
Sure.
not to mention, you know, all the people who have gone to jail and stuff, and, you know, ruined lives ruined because of prohibition. But you know, that the prohibition mindset, the what is it, like reefer madness, and it's
Yeah.
just mis, you know, like, think of the mis information that's causing damage to the planet now, right? Like, that was part of it. And think of the
Right.
loss of potential that could have come, you know, from people just smoking it casually. I think there's therapeutic benefits of just smoking it casually, and so I think it could have helped a lot more people than it did, you
Yeah,
know.
I guess what you were saying though, like maybe it's just we just need to kind of going back to like the mystery traditions, whether the Eleusinian mysteries or Soma rituals, or just I think that's the aspect of it that I'm talking about. It just so happens that the secrecy or the esoteric notions of it kind of were coupled with the
Was stripped.
legality of it because of the situation.
We get some, you know, negative feedback from two primary places. One would be the just say no folks, you know, and the culture, you know, that particular culture,
Sure.
you know, and all of that, right? Which is totally expected. But we also get it from plant medicine practitioners where they say cannabis is just a recreational drug. You have to take fast
Really?
from it before. Yeah, some
You would think
ayahuasca
that they would know
communities.
better. I don't know.
No, that's that belief system that's been ingrained. They don't, you know, it's like that, like, again, you don't even know it's in there. You don't even know it's filtering or like muddling up your you know, your
Do you think it's because
projections
they
and
hold
expectations.
their compound to a higher regard, like it's almost like more religious to them that they look down
Yeah,
upon
sure.
something that's not as potent?
Well, I think in any religious tradition, you have dogma, and you know, the psychedelic religious traditions are no different than that, you know. But so everybody, it's okay to have a preference, you know, if you have if your favorite medicine that you use, and some medicines don't fit well for others. But I think people are starting to be more and more open to cannabis and giving it a try as a psychedelic. But you know, it's like as a branding thing, it's probably the biggest question, you know, we have as a organization is how do we rebrand cannabis to be more to its truth, you know, and its potential, as opposed to, and we got to fight. It's not a neutral space. You got to fight against another brand, which is the crack an egg and fry a skillet, you know, like, you know
Right.
what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
you know, like
This is
those
your
things
brain
are
on
this is
drugs.
your
Your
brain.
morning
Yeah, man,
messages. Yeah.
they're you know,
So many
like
myths. In high school, we heard so many myths about,
it's the gateway drug.
yeah, or even other things like MDMA puts holes in your brain and LSD.
Sure.
You crack your back and you have
You're
flashbacks
gonna
and all.
go crazy. Oh
Yeah,
yeah, I
there's
remember that
all.
one. I forgot about the back cracking one.
I think even one of our teachers told some story of some guy put a sheet in his sock and he sweated
Yeah.
through and he died. Like this stuff's just propaganda. That's just crazy nonsense. And none of them actually were true, but that just shows you how the game telephone works. But
That's exactly right.
so I do want to wrap it up here. We are going to do a Patreon segment with you. Everybody should definitely go check out Daniel's book, Psychedelic Cannabis. I have the link down below. Again, shout out to Inner Traditions. And yeah, check out Mindful Medicinals. I'll put the link in there as well. And yeah, is there anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
Well, you know, just, you know, we have a center here. So if, you know, it's too much to try it on your own following the book, you know, come visit us. We also do online cannabis sessions now, super safe and effective. We work with ketamine too in the clinic. And then if you're interested in learning how to be a sitter or you want to go through a really intensive process, like psychedelicsitterschool.org is where you can learn more about our training program. And so we teach a lot of people, both what we call like community guides who are working with friends and family, and then but we also work with a lot of professionals who want to do this for a living, and that's kind of my job is helping people transition into those professions. So just
Awesome.
love to work with anybody. Yeah.
And he's also on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter. I tagged him when I posted today. So if you follow us on
Appreciate it.
Twitter, go follow Daniel, please. And yeah, we really appreciate the time. And before we get on out of here, well, number one, I added some new merch to our merch store. So if you're interested, I added a cool new Anubis shirt. There's the Portara shirt. We've got all sorts of awesome designs in there that I created. So go check out our merch store. Also, head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/mindescapepodcast. For just $2 a month, you'll get exclusive guest episodes and segments. We're about to do one with Daniel right now. We're probably going to talk about DMTX. So check that out. It'll be uploaded later, but we have tons of content on there. Again, if you listen to our show, for just $2 a month, you get exclusive access to pretty much, you know, a whole other podcast. So check that out. And if you are interested, also head on over to indrasweb.org. This is the social media platform we created to connect open minds. So if you want to hypothesize, theorize, speculate, whatever your thing is, head on over there. We're trying to raise everybody's consciousness, so head on over there. And one more time, if you're interested, we are going to give away this Mindscape t-shirt. We only have two sizes available left, so large and medium. But if you're interested, you can enter to win. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcast, leave us a 5-star review, take a screenshot of it, and send it to mindescapepodcast@gmail.com, and you will be entered to win. And that's it. Thank you so much, Daniel. And we'll definitely have you back on again in the future. This was awesome.
That was awesome.
So many more other things we could talk about, too.
Yeah. So. Thanks so much, Mike and Maurice. Really appreciate being here. It's been great.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. And we love everybody. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Peace.